Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf Hei. We begin right on top, Vayidem HaShemesh. So now this is a totally new topic. We move on to the story of Yeshua with the Givonim. And by the way, it comes in here because some of the Amiraim who formed part of yesterday's discussion regarding those miraculous those cows who miraculously transported the Arayin from the Plishtim, some of those very names are involved in today's discussion as well, hence the connection. In any case, this involves the story of the Givonim. So these were actually locals, people from Eretz Canaan, who were meant to be wiped out by the Bnei Yisrael upon entering Eretz Canaan. So they were gripped by fear. They knew what was coming. So they played a game in deceit. They approached Yeshua and Bnei Yisrael pretending to have arrived from a faraway land. They were wearing tattered clothing and moldy bread they were carrying. Look, we're here to make an alliance with you. And Klal Yisrael were duped, and they actually swore to them that they'll, team up with them, join up with them. They made a pact, an alliance. And then their ruse was discovered. And there was nothing Bnei Yisrael can do at that time because they had already sworn in public. It was a shvur. You can't renege on it. So they couldn't do anything to them. Not only that, they had this alliance, this commitment to protect them. And in fact, when these individuals, who were actually locals, they were from the town of Givon, were then attacked, subsequently attacked by local kings for having, formed an alliance with Bnei Yisrael. They came to attack them. Now Bnei Yisrael had to come and protect the Bnei Givon, as per their agreement. They had to fend off the kings of Yerushalayim, Hebron, Yarmus, etc. So this miraculous phenomenon, coming up in a minute, occurred during that battle. So Bnei Yisrael came to their defense and were fending off the attackers. And it says in the pasuk that the sun suddenly stopped midday to lengthen the day, to give them more opportunity to battle the enemies and to be victorious. Vayidoy ma'ashemesh v'yireach amat. So the sun stood still. Interestingly, Rashi says, Vayidoyim, on the second line, Rashi says, Shasak milim ashira. He stopped singing to Hashem, which is an indication of fulfillment of his mission, as he's connecting to source, implementing Hashem's instructions, so to speak. Rashi says, Shebchal eis lechto in a sheisek, while he's moving, while the sun is rotating, it doesn't, it's not silent, it sings to Hashem, b'midas sheisek, only when it stops, that's when it, so it stood still, not only in terms of movement, but also in terms of shira. Interesting. Vayida b'shemesh, v'yireach amad, likewise the moon stood still. And as we're going to see in a minute, it happened twice during that very same day, during midday, and also prior to sunset. Ad yokum goyoivav, until the nation conquered its enemies, halo yiksuva al sefer ha-yosher. This is old news. It's already been hinted back in sefer ha-yosher that this will happen. Now, what exactly is sefer ha-yosher? Where's that? My sefer ha-yosher. Amr b'chibar amr b'yechnan. It's referring to sefer Bereishis, which describes the life and the events of our avos, our great ancestors, Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, who are called Yisharim. Zeh Sefer Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, shenikru Yisharim. Where do we find them called Yisharim? Balaam HaRasha called them Yisharim. Shenemar Tamus Nafshim Ois Yisharim. Bilam wished upon himself to die naturally, like the avos, like the tzaddikim. So where do we find a hint to this miraculous phenomenon in Sefer Bereishis? It's in Parshas Vayechi, when Yaakov blessed them, gave the brachas to the Shvatim, and the bracha to Ephraim was as follows. Vecha remizas, where is it hinted in Shefer Bereishis? Vezaroi, his descendants, one of which was Yeshua, came from Ephraim, yim lo hagayim. His notoriety will fill the world. All will be aware and gripped with fear and awe. When will that happen? When the sun experienced this stoppage on account of Yeshua, on account of his honor, to allow him to finish his job. Rashi says, typically, a typical war doesn't have this worldwide, you know, international impact, right? A war over here doesn't affect the people down there. But here, it was an international event. And everybody noticed, oh, what's this sun stoppage about? Oh, so the his awe, his yira. Everybody saw how great he was and were gripped with fear and awe towards him. So what exactly happened? So while the sun was at mid-sky, meaning midday, it stood still. And then again, it wasn't hurrying. During sunset, so the extension or the stoppage is referred to as kiyam tamim. So how long was the stoppage for? How long was the day for? What was the grand total of that day? How many hours? Vakama. So we have several opinions. Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Esrim Babosh Shoi. That day lasted, daylight lasted 24 hours. Ozel Shis, so the sun moved, traveled for the first 6 hours, as usual. Vakam Shis, at midday it stopped for 6 hours. It stood still. Ozel Shis, Vakam Shis, traveled another 6 hours, and right before sunset, there was another 6 hour stoppage. Kula Milsa. So the grand total of daylight for that day is Kiyam Tamim. Like a complete, full day night cycle. That's why it's Yom Tamim, 24 hour cycle. So the daylight period of that day was equal to a full night day unit, meaning 24 hours. The grand total of light during that day was 36 hours. Ozel Shis. So one second. So according to Shmuel Levi, he gets it from Kiyam Tamim. Kiyam Tamim means a full, complete night-day cycle, which is 24 hours. And according to him, it's referring to the amount of hours that they experience daylight during that day. According to Shmuel Nachmeni, according to Belezer, Shloshim Vishis, he says it was even more. It was even more daylight. They experienced day for 36 hours straight. Ozel Shis become Teresa. The sun traveled for 6 hours, and then at midday there was a 12-hour stoppage. Ozel Shis become Teresa. Then it traveled another 6, and right before sunset, it stopped for another 12. Amidasa, he learns that the term Kiyam Tamim is referring to the stoppage aspect of that day. Amidasa Kiyam Tamim. Right? So it was a midday stoppage of 12 hours, a sunset, 12-hour stoppage. So it's a 24-hour stoppage, Kiyam Tamim, in addition to the standard 12-hour daylight period. So it's a total of 36. Here comes yet a third opinion, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Omar. He says, Arbaim v'shmoina. The stoppage lasted for 48 hours. Sorry, the total hours of daylight was 48. So there's a grand total of 48. How is that? Ozel Shis become Tresa. It first traveled for 6, stopped for 12. Ozel Shis become Esrim Abba. Then it traveled for 6 and stopped for 24 hours right before sunset. How do I know that the sunset stoppage was much longer than the previous midday stoppage? Shenamar v'loi otzlovik yom tamim. So the stoppage prior to sunset, prior to v'loi otzlovai, right, lovai means sunset, that was Kiyam Tamim, which we said means 24 hours. Michlal apparently, the Mikar, that the earlier stoppage, the midday stoppage, love Kiyam Tamim Hava, wasn't a 24-hour stoppage. And Rashi says, we assume it's 12 hours because that's typically what happens every night, a 12-hour segment of darkness. So we assume that's the duration of the midday stoppage. So according to him, the grand total of the entire day was 48 hours. 6 plus 12 plus 6 for 20 plus 24. So we have three opinions in terms of the grand total amount of hours of daylight on that day. 24, 36, and 48. There's actually another version of this whole discussion. This difference of opinion 24, 36, 48, does not relate to the grand total. Rather, it relates to just the stoppage period that took place on that day, which allows for a greater grand total if you add the standard daylight hours. Rav Shimon Levi Amar Esrim Rabba. So the idling was 24 hours. Azal Shisvakam Tresar. Azal Shisvakam Tresar. Traveled for 6, stood for 12. Traveled 6, stood for 12. Amidasa Kiyam Tamim. So the actual stoppage was Kiyam Tamim. That's what the Pasuk means, Kiyam Tamim. The stoppage itself was for a duration of 24 hours. Plus, the standard 12 gives you, right, 36. Rav Lezer Mishleshem Rishesh. The idle time was 36. Azal Shisvakam Tresa. Azal Shisvakam Esrim Rabba. Right, traveled for 6, stood for 12, 6 and 24. Love Kiyam Tamim, because the stoppage prior to sunset lasted for Yom Tamim, which is 24 hours. Apparently the earlier stoppage was less, was only 12. So according to him, the grand total of the stoppage period was 36 plus the standard 12-hour daylight period. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmanim Amar, he says, it was much more than that. Bar Mishmoina. So the stoppage was for 48 hours. Azal Shiz become Esrim Rabba. Azal Shiz become Esrim Rabba. So traveled 6, stood for 24, and so forth. How does he know that? Makish Amidas L'Bizyasei. He'll connect the midday stoppage to Biyasei, to the end of day stoppage. Ma Biyasei Ki Yom Tam, just as we had established, that the sunset stoppage lasted for Yom Tam, which is 24 hours. Af Amidas Ki Yom Tam, likewise, the midday stoppage was for the same amount of time, 24 hours. Tani, we learned in a brace. This type of phenomenon, this type of sun stoppage, occurred 3 times in history. Tana, k'shem she'amda lecham l'Yeshua, just like Yeshua experienced this miracle, kach amda lecham l'Moshe, Moshe Rabbein also experienced this type of stoppage, ula nakdimen meguryain, likewise to the tzaddik nakdimen meguryain. How do we know? Says the Gemara Yeshua Kroy. We just discussed the psukim relating to Yeshua, so that's a given. What about Nakdim and Megurion? That's a Gemara, it's a tradition. Rashi brings briefly the Gemara in Tanis, where we have a story. There was a severe drought, shortage of water. There was a Tyre Yid by the name of Nakdim and Megurion who was very concerned about supplying the Jews with water when they come to Aliyah L'Regel, to Yerushalayim. So he contracted with a wealthy guy to take his water supplies, take his reserve water, and he made a deal. Look, I'll return you, I'll give you back water, and if I don't, by a certain day, I'll pay you a huge fortune. Come that day, there was no rain, there was no water, the guy was very excited, anticipating a grand fortune. Nakdimon went to the Beis HaMikdash and damon to Hashem, and says, Hashem, show everybody that you love us, show everybody that you have loyal people, that you appreciate our, so to speak, our Mesiras Nefesh. And suddenly it started raining, and all the fellow's wells were, his pits were filled up, and his cisterns were full to the top, paid up. But it wasn't done, because there was still a concern that the guy would say, well, the day's over, look, it's dark. They didn't have watches in those days. So you missed the deal. You came back too late. So Nakdimon went up to the Beis HaMikdash again. He says, Hashem, show everybody who you love, show everybody that you're connected to us, that you care for us, etc. And suddenly Hashem made a nace, and the wind came and blew away the clouds, and the sun was still shining, but he saw it was still daytime, in which case he had, in fact, paid back in the nick of time. So apparently, according to the Gemara here, there was a stoppage, some sort of stoppage then as well, to keep it, to keep the day going long enough for the payment to have been deemed, paid. So that was a nace that he experienced. And Gemara, it's known through Mesorah, through tradition. We don't have a sourcing in the Pasuk, but we have the Mesorah. That's good enough for us. What about L'Moshe? Where do we find that Moshe Rabbeinu experienced this type of phenomenon? Minolan Asya, we have a Gzera Shava. We connect Ochel, Ochel. Connect these two words. Ksiv Hocha, Ochel Teis Pachtecha. We find by Moshe Rabbeinu, during his battle with Sichain, the king of Cheshbon, we find the term Ochel, I'll begin, Ochel Tas Pachtecha, this will be the beginning of your, I will spread your pachad amongst the goyim, Uksiv Hasam, Yeshua, likewise, by Yeshua, it says, Ochel Gadelcha, Ochel, Ochel, we connect it, and we learn just like Yeshua experienced this mighty phenomenon, likewise, Mesh Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yechon Omar, he says, ask your taste, taste, we connect the words taste, taste. So it's a different Xeder. Shavak Sivhacha Ochel Taste Pachtacha, we have the word taste by Mesh Rabbeinu, and likewise, by Yeshua. Uksiv by Yeshua, Bim Taste Hashem, Asem Moirim. Just like it happened by Yeshua, likewise by Moshe, the son was kept in check until the battle was done. Rabbi Shimon Nachmani Amar Megufa Dekro Shamaslei. We don't need to get a Shava. Look at the actual pasuk describing Moshe Rabbeinu and his war. Asher Yishmon Shemacho V'Rogzu V'Cholom Upanecha. Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that this is going to bring you. You know, notoriety, the goyim will be gripped with fear and awe on account of you. So how did that happen? When did that happen? A masai, rogzu, v'cholom panecha, when were they fearful? When were they gripped by fear of your might, of your fame? B'shoah she'amdolei chamal Moshe. When the sun stopped on account of Moshe Rabbeinu to allow him victory. Meisvei, here comes Akasha, how could you say this type of thing already happened in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu? The pasuk here by Yeshua says it's a first time occurrence. Such a thing never happened before or after. Iboy Yisema says the Gemara, yeah, to this extent, shows who the loy havu nafish kuli hai, although it happened in a smaller scale by Moshe Rabbeinu. The pasuk just means to this great extent, such a substantial stoppage. 12 hours, 24 hours, 36, that, for that it was a first time. Another way to explain this pasuk, describing this as a something of a, you know, first time occurrence, it wasn't in terms of the stoppage, it was another miraculous element to this battle. The Avnei Bara, the hailstones that came crashing down upon the Goyim during this battle, Avnei Bara, those stones, Lehavu, they were only by Yeshua, but not back by Moshe, Rabbeinu's times. And that's what the pasuk means. This was exclusive to this battle here. The chsiv, as the pasuk says, Vahi benusam v'pnei b'nei Yisrael, when the armies were fleeing b'nei Yisrael, heim, they arrived at this place called b'moirad b'yischeirin, and suddenly the skies opened up and the rockets came raining down. V'ashem hishlich aleim avonim g'doyleis v'ashamayim ad azeka v'yemusu, and wiped them out. By the way, the Farshim explained, these same Avnei Barad were from the time of Mitzrayim, when the Egyptians were inflicted with matan, with makas borah, with the hail. Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Hashem, and the pasuk says that the hailstones lo nitach arza stopped mid sky; they didn't make it down, so they were suspended mid air. So when did they ever come down? Right here, during Yeshua's battle. Okay, Ksiv, we have a pasuk. This is where David HaMelech eulogized the death of Shaul and Yohanan. It says, Vayomer, Ksiv, Vayomer, Lelamed, Yehuda Keshes. Hine Ksiv, Al Ksiv, Yoshar, that the children of Yehuda are meant to be involved in shooting arrows, leading Bnei Yisrael into war. Hine Ksiv, Al Ksiv, Yoshar, as is recorded in the Sefer HaYoshar. What is Sefer HaYoshar? Oh, my Sefer HaYoshar. Amar B'chibar, Amar B'yechon, like we said before, we have two opinions. According to him, it's referring to Sefer Bereishis, Sefer Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, which discusses the lifetime of our Avos, who are called Shenikru Yisharim, as we find by Bilam HaRosh, Tachsiv, Behu, Batamois, Nafshi Moshe Yisharim, he's bushing upon himself the death of the righteous of the Avos. So in fact, where do we find a hint to this concept, to Yeshua, to Yehuda, pulling the arrows? This we have in Parshas Vayechi again. Yehuda. So Yaakov Avinu is addressing Yehuda, Ata Yeducha Achecha, you'll be the object of acknowledgement and respect, you'll be the leader. Yodcha, Yadecha, Ba'irif, Eivecha, your hands are going to be aimed at the nape of the neck of your enemies. What? Holding which type of instrument, which type of weapon? Bow and arrow, right? Ve'ezuhi, Melchama, Shetzricha, Yad, Keneged, Eirif, which weapon requires this type of position? Havayim, Ezek, Keshes, it's done with an arrow. Bow and arrow. Rav Lezer Omer, Zayt Sefer Mishnah Torah, Sefer HaYosha here is referring to Chumash Devarim, which is called Mishneh Torah because it's pretty much a review of the prior four Svarim. V'amai korele Sefer Yosha. Why do we call Sefer Dvarim Sefer Yosha? D'chsiv. Because in Sefer Dvarim it says, D'chsiv v'asisa Yosha tevi ni Hashem. He meant to do what is right and good in the eyes of Hashem. So Sefer Yosha is Sefer Dvarim. And in fact, V'echar Misa, so what do we find? That Yehuda is the one pulling arrows? Yodav Rav Loi. So his hands are involved in this battle. V'ezehi milchamash tzichash deyodayim. And the pasuk refers to both hands involved in handling this weapon. Which weapon requires both hands? Havemizu keshes, that's the bow and arrow. Rabbi Shmuel Nachmani Omar is a sefer shoiftim. The sefer Yosha is actually sefer shoiftim. Why? By my code, the sefer Yosha. Why is it called sefer Yosha? The chsiv. Because at the end of the sefer it says, "Vayama mahem." In those days, ain melech b'Yisrael. Isha Yosha ben Avyasa, there was no king, there was no leader, everybody just followed his heart. So we find the Lashon HaYashar, and in fact, in Sefer HaShoftim, and in fact, what do we find? A hint to Bnei Yehuda engaging in warfare with bows and arrows, Vecha Remizah, Laman Das, Doiras, Bnei Yisrael, Lamdam, Lachama. So actually, the pasuk they were speaking about the unfortunate fact that they left over. The Klal Yisrael did not banish all the goyim from Eretz Canaan. There were some remnants, which would pose a challenge in the future, because instead of them being banished miraculously by Bnei Yisrael, by the miracles that Bnei Yisrael experienced upon entering Eretz Yisrael, so had they have done it then, they would have had an easy job. But since, for some reason, it was delayed till much later. So then they had to really engage in more challenging warfare. Laman Das, Doiras, Bnei Yisrael, Lamdam, Tetisha, Muhammad. They had to study, they had to train in warfare. Ve'ezehi Melchamash Tzrich Halimud. What type of Melchamah requires training and practice? Habe'im Azukeshes. That's the handling of a bow and arrow. Okay, so we know that there is a bow and arrow activity, but what about, how do we know that Yehuda specifically is the one doing it? Umanol de Yehuda, Chsiv. How do we know it's about Yehuda? Chsiv, because we have earlier in the Sefer, Mi alalanu, batchila lakranli lachamboi, Bnei Yisrael asked Hashem through the Urim v'Tumim, who's going to lead us to battle against the Kanani? Vayimar Hashem, Hashem responded, Yehuda yal, Yehuda will lead you into battle. So they're the leaders, they're the ones orchestrating battle. Likewise over here, a battle with a bow and arrow. Now we move on to a slightly different topic. And again, because it involves some of these same names, the same Amiroim, that's how it comes in. So this was when Shaul went to look for the his father's lost mules. He paid a visit to Shmuel HaNavi, who offered him some of the korban, some of the meat. Vayorom atabach es ha-shoik v'aleho. Vayosom ne Shaul, he offered Shaul shoik, part of the midtai area, v'aleho, and the cut of meat called ha-leo. So he offered him this portion of meat. What exactly is ha-aleha? Mai v'ha-aleha. Rabbi Yechon Oymer shoik v'alyo. It's the shoik, which is the section above the knee of the animal. V'alyo, that's the tail, which sits upon that that limb. Mai v'aleha. So why is it called v'aleha? The mesamcha shoik l'alyo, because the shoik supports the alyo in the back of the animal. Rabbi Lezo Oymer shoik v'chazer. It was the shoik and the chest area of the animal. So why is it called Mai V'ha'aleha? The Machos Le L'chazir Le'er the shoik. Ki Boy Anufi Umanfili. Because we know that by a shlamim, which is brought in the Beis HaMikdash, there are some parts of that shlamim that go to the Kayin, notably the Chazir V'shoik. And first you have to wave it back and forth. You have to do a Tnufa Anufi Manfili, right? So the way it is, it's the shoik on top, the chaza placed on top of the shoik, and they wave it back and forth and they give it to the kohen. So that's why the chaza section of the animal got its title, the haleo, because typically it's placed on top of the shoik during the tenufa. So in any case, it was those two pieces that he gave him. And finally, we have Rabbi Shmuel Nachmani Amar. He says shoik v'shoifi. It was the shoik, and the shoifi, which is the cut of meat surrounding the hip area. My veha'aleh, why is it called aleh? Because it's sitting on top of the shoik. Shoifi aleh, the shoikoi, it's sitting over the shoik, above it, and that's how it got its name. Okay. Continues the Gemara. So the Mishnah says, look, don't trust a guy with an animal, and a Jewish woman should not trust herself with a guy. There's a concern of Gilui Arayis. Asks the Gemara, well, even with another Yid, a Jewish woman cannot be Mesiachid, so why are we highlighting the guy? But Ma'askina, what are we talking about? What's the configuration? Ilayma Bachad, if she's spending time with a single male, the Kavasaga B'Yisrael Mishari, how can a woman do the same even with a Yisrael? It's Yichud. But now we have a Mishnah, Le'Yisiachad Ish Echad Mishtei Noshim. Even a Jewish man cannot be in seclusion with a Jewish woman, even with two women who might succumb to temptation. So why is it specific to a guy? Isur Yichud applies universally, even to a Yid. Elabat Lasso says that more. We're speaking that she's in an area, in a room with three guy. The Kavasag, which would be okay if they were Yidden, Rashi says, really, two is typically sufficient. The reason why we mention three is because if they're on the road, then with Yisrael, we need to have three, because just in case one has to leave the group to tend to his needs, we want her to be with no less than two people. So three is certainly acceptable if they are Yisraelim. And the point of the Mishnah is that if they're a Goyim, it's different. Even if there are three, it doesn't allow for anything. It doesn't allow for Yichud. Asks the Gemara, hold it. But that's not much of a lesson, not much of a chiddush, because we assume, right, Goyim are problematic because of their ill reputation, right? So the truth is that in a comparable situation, the Kavosah Gabi Yisrael, right? In a comparable situation with Yisraelim, Beprutzim, if there are men of ill reputation, even if there are three or ten, Mishari, is it then allowed? So it's really not because they're Goyim. Even if they're Yisraelim with this type of reputation, it would also be Aser. Now we have a Mishnah. Aval Isha Achas Mesiachedes Mishnei Anoshim. Typically, an Isha could be Mesiached with two men. Vamar Bidam Rav Shmuel, it's only if there are people of upstanding reputation. Lo Yishon, that's only true Elab Ksherim, if there are people that are Ksherim, they're known to be Erlich. But if there are people of questionable background, people of ill reputation, even if there are 10 people, she can't spend time with them. In fact, it was a story, 10 men carried out this woman in a bed, pretending that she's on the way to burial, and they sinned with her. So, why are we highlighting the halacha by a guy specifically? This type of configuration, spending time with men of ill reputation, would be also even by a Yid, irregardless, irrespective of their numbers. Says, well, I'll give you a case where it's only usher by the guy and would be okay by a Yid. His wife's with him. So in that case, if he's a Yid, his wife's presence serves as a deterrent, and we're not concerned about yichud with this man, but not by a guy. By a guy, his wife doesn't really provide much coverage. Rashi says, he's involved, she's involved, they're on the same boat, there's no deterrent. Aval Yisrael, but if this Isha is in seclusion with a Yisrael, whose wife's around, his wife's presence provides security. Okay, so that explains the mission, which says an Isha should not be misachad with a guy. Why are we highlighting a guy? Because we're speaking where the wife's around, which would provide allowance by a Yid, but doesn't really work by a guy. Asks the Gemara, hold it. Why is this discussion even necessary? Look, there was a third concern in the mission as well. One should never stay in private with a guy. So even a man shouldn't stay private with a guy because of Shvichas Dam. We're concerned about his safety. Might kill him. Same applies to a woman. So let's put aside the Gili Arayis issue. The typical Shvichas Dam. There's a concern of a personal danger. Shvichas Dam. So we have to find a case where Shvichas Dam is not a concern. And the concern is strictly because of Gilui Arayis. How's that? Amar Rav Yirmiyah was speaking like this. This woman, is a prominent woman. She's close to the authorities. She occupies a high position in government, whatever. And also, so she has prominence amongst the male population. They're fearful of meddling with her and harming her. And she's also a person held in high regard amongst the women due to her pleasant looks. So, in terms of Gili Arayis, there's a concern because she poses a temptation to the guy. But the Mirsa Simino, in terms of bodily harm, they're not going to attempt that. They're not going to harm her because of her high position. That provides a deterrent. Oh, so Gili Arayis is a concern, and Shvichas Damim is not. Ravida says, I'll give you another pshat. Isha Klei Zayna Aleo, a woman, has a built-in protective system because the guy is attracted to her, and there's the sin component, in which case he's not going to harm her. Okay, so she has that built-in protection. Klei Zayna, her weapon is Aleo, is automatically on her. Okay, so she's protected from Shvichas Damim. He'd rather sin with her, and once he does that, he's not going to kill her. So once again, that disables the Shvichas Damim concern, but activates the Gili Arayis concern. It might be naive. Any difference between the two answers that we just proposed? Meaning, is there a case where it would be okay according to one shita and not okay according to the other? It could be naive. Here comes the difference. Isha chashuva ben anoshim, isha ena chashuva ben anoshim. You have a woman who has high status in terms of the men, in terms of her closeness to the government, etc. But ena chashuva ben anoshim, she's not held in high regard amongst women in terms of her looks. So, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, she's okay on all ends because there's no concern of shvichas damim. Because of that personal deterrent, right? They're not going to attack her because she's Karev L'Malchus. So she has that protection. And there's no concern of Gili Arayis as well because she's not, she doesn't tempt them in terms of her appearance. Whereas the contrary of Idi, even lack of appearance wouldn't mitigate that concern. We don't find him talking about that, right? He's not talking about the fact of chashivas, the element of chashivas. So apparently, any woman poses a temptation, and there is a Gili Arayis concern as well. Although there's no shvichas damim concern because, as we said, she has that built-in protection. So here's a case where according to Ravidi Bar Avin, it would be aser because of Gili Arayis concerns. Could Rabbi Yirmiyah be okay on all ends? Tanakh of Aseid Ravidi, we have a writer of Idi, that the mitigating factor is because of that built-in protection. Tanika was said, Ravidi Bar Avin, Ha'isha, Ava B'isha Shalem Ima, a Jewish woman, even though she has that personal protection, Shalem Ima, she has that built-in, you know, protection, Lo'isha Zachar Ima, she should not go into Yichud with the Goy, although there's no Shvichas Damim concern, there's no concern of bodily harm, but there is a spiritual concern, Nei, Shechashudin Alareis. Okay, so just to summarize this piece of Gemara, we don't trust to go with the animal, we don't trust to go with a Jewish woman. Now, the reason why we have to stress the halacha regarding a goy, because we're speaking about a case whereby a yid would not pose a concern because his wife's around, which serves as a deterrent, as a security coverage, so to speak. By a goy, it's not very effective, and therefore there's a concern about Gili Arayis, and we're speaking whether even when there's no concern of Shvichas Damim, for instance, she's Karev L'Malchus, she occupies a high position in government, or as Ravidi says, there's that natural inborn protection. Nevertheless, the concern about Gili Arayis is still prevalent. Now we go to the third concern in the Mishnah. Even a man should not be Misyachet Lo Yisyachet Imoim, Yisyachet Adam Imoim, because they're Chashut, suspected of Shvichas Damim. Torah Rabbanan. So we have a Yisrael traveling with a guy on the road. Yisrael Shem is Damaloy Oib Kicham Baderech. A Yid is traveling down the road and he bumps into a guy. Toifli Limina. Make sure that the guy is veered to his right. Keep the guy on your right, near your right hand. So if he's up to any no good, you're right there to defend yourself. Rabbi Shmuel Bnoi Shabrechem Breika Omer, he says, depends what the guy is holding. b'sayif. If the guy is carrying a sword, which is strung up on the left side of the guy, right? So they would reach over to the left with their right hand, pull out the sword. So in this case, tefle limina, make sure the guy is walking to your right, so that your right hand is in close proximity to his sword, and you could stop him in time. But makel, if he's holding some sort of stick in his right hand, tefle smiloim, in this case, angle yourself to have the guy walk along the left. So this way, your left hand is right near that stick, and you could stop him in time. Suppose they're traveling, you know, up a hill, or you're the Merida traveling down. Make sure that you always have the level advantage. You're in a you're in a position. You have the vantage point over the guy. Lo yehi yisro lemata va'ived kachav lemala. Ensure that the Yisrael is not below the guy in terms of level. Eli yisro lemala. Rather, Yisrael should always be on a higher level than the guy. So he's to your right or to your left, as we explained, but even so, make sure the levels work out. And never bend down in front of a guy. For he might attack him and break his skull. So the guy asks the Yid, oh, where to? Where are you going today? Don't divulge your destination. Rather, yarchiv leis haderech. Pretend you're traveling further than you really are. So let's say you're traveling to the next town, which is a mile away. Make it like you're traveling 10 miles away. This way, if he's plotting anything against him, he might be taking his time, thinking he has all that time to prepare and to attack. By the time he's ready, he'll be off the road. Where do we find this? Everything is sourced in the Torah. Kederach she'asa Yaakov Avinu l'Esav HaRasha. We find that Yaakov Avinu tricked Esav into thinking that there's still a long road ahead. Techsiv ad asher avoy. El adoni se'ira, right? When they were traveling back, he says to Esav, look, I'm going to be catching up to you in Seir. I'm going to be traveling a long way with you. Right? Uksiv. What really happened? He got off the first exit. Yaakov nasa sukaisa. In fact, there was a story, Maaseh b'Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. There were students of Rabbi Akiva were traveling towards Eretz Yisrael, Shoyhochin, Likiziv. They were traveling to the town of Kiziv, which was relatively close by. Pogu b'hen listim. So there were these robbers. And the Gemara later says they were Jewish robbers. Violent people with weapons. Amrlan, Lanat and Hilchem. So they were traveling in Eretz Yisrael, and they said, where are you going? Amrlan, they said, La'akai. They tricked them, they fooled them, we're going only to Akai, 50 miles away. Sure enough, they got off the first exit. Kivan, Shigil, Akziv, and they came to Akziv, Pirshu. They went their separate way. Amrlan, Amrlan. So the robbers missed their chance, and they were very impressed with this strategy, and they told the Talmidim, Talmidim Miyatem, whose students are you? Who taught you these strategies? Amr Lehen, they said, Talmidim Rabbi Kiva, where are Talmidim Rabbi Kiva? Amr Lehen, so the listim were very impressed. They said, oh, you have a good Rebbe. Asher Rabbi Kiva, a Talmidim. What fortunate. Here's Rabbi Kiva and his students that knew how to preempt the Ganavim and protect themselves. Shilei Paga, Bohen, Adam Rama Oilam, nobody bad has ever attacked you. You people are really wise. So they were impressed there by their chachma. There was another story, Rav Menashe, Hava Azal Lebei Tursa. So this happened outside Eretz Yisrael in Bavel. Rav Menashe was traveling to the town of Tursa, which was far away. Pogabei Ganavi, so he met up with some thieves, plain thieves, not violent listen, but small-time thieves. Amalei. So they struck up a conversation with him. Where to? La'an ka'azlas. Where are you going to? Amalan, he says, he didn't divulge the truth. He says, it's going to be a long road ahead. L'pumbadisa, I'm going far away to Pumbadisa. Kimat le'Beit Tursa. As soon as he got to Beit Tursa, he disappeared on them, parish. Amalay. So before they had a chance to rob him and to, right? He suddenly took the turn off the road. Amalay, so they said to him, in disappointment, they said, Talmid the Yehuda Ramat. Ah, you're a Talmud of the of Rabbi Yehuda, the deceiver, right? Because it must have been from him that you learned how to deceive us. Amar Lusi turned to him, Yadusule, you know him as a great man? How can you talk about him like that? Yei Rava, de lahavu, hanu, in shebeshamte. Should be the Ratzon Hashem, but these people should now experience a cherem. They're placed in excommunication, a cherem, on account of offending his honor, of speaking so disparagingly about the Rabbi Rabbi Yehuda. They called him a Ramai. And in fact, the cherem had its effect, and they were very unsuccessful in their endeavors. For the next 22 years, they weren't very successful robbers. Azlu avdu genifte, they attempted to rob for the next 22 years. Esr matat and shnivla yatzlachu, they didn't have much success. And they realized, oh, it must be due to that experience way back when we disparaged Rabbi Yehuda, and he put us in cherem. Kivan de chazu, once they realized what was happening, asu kulu tavu shamtai, they came back to ask mechila, to appease Rabbi Yehuda, and to release themselves from the cherem. There was one amongst them, a Gerdana, a weaver, who was obstinate. He stubbornly refused to come to release himself from the cherem, and he was affected by the cherem. He was attacked by a lion. Achle Arye, attacked by a lion. This is what people say. Gerdana, a weaver like Tyson, who can't bring himself to be humble, shata years, butzer gets removed and deducted mishnei from his lifetime. So, if we had to compare the two stories, says the Gemara, take a look at the contrast between how the listim, who were much more hardened criminals, but since they were Eretz Yisrael listim, so they were positively affected, so to speak, by the Kedushas Haaretz. So despite them being listim, look how respectfully they related to Rakiva and his Talmidim, and praised him, right? Versus the plain, simple Ganavim of Bavel, who spoke disparagingly when they were disappointed due to their failed attempt, they spoke down about Rabbi Yehuda in such a degrading way. Tochaze, take a look, Ma Ben Ganvi Bavel, take a look at the contrast between the behavior of the Ganvi Bavel compared to the Velistim, there's Israel, despite them being Listim, were still a men of a bit higher stature. Rashi says, this teaches us, L'diach ha-shvach, the shvach, the praise, the positive effect of just being in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's do a quick chazor of today's daf. So how long did the sun stay idle? How long was the stoppage during the war between Yeshua and the Anshei, in protection of the Anshei Givoin? Some say it was 24 hours, some say 36, some 48. Either the actual stoppage was that long, or the total daylight hours of that very extra long day. This occurrence occurred in similar fashion to Moshe Rabbeinu during the Mechama with Sichon, and in a smaller scale to Nachdiman Ben Gurion during that critical repayment day. We spoke about the Avnei Barad, which came raining down to help Yeshua win the battle. We spoke about Keshes and Bnei Yehuda. We spoke about the portion given to Shaul HaMelech. The Yichud with a guy is Asr even when Ishtei Imoy, and even when there's no concern of Shvichas Damim for various reasons. Even a Yisrael, a man, should not be Mesiachet with a guy. In fact, when he's on the road, he should arrange things in a way that provides maximum protection. And we had some good advice regarding misleading, throwing off ganavim when encountered on the road. All the best to you and atzlacha rabba.